absolutely no way. If I'd have had the slightest inkling that there was a risk involved there, I'd have done it. It was on the third check, which is my check, that I went, and I discovered Madeline had been taken. And I just remember saying, not Madeline, not Madeline, not Madeline. And I just remember saying that over and over and over again.
Please, if you have Madeline, let her come home to her mummy, daddy, brother and sister.
If you have seen this little girl, please give any information that you have.
These are actually the pyjamas that Madeline was wearing when she was taken.
Whilst it's heartbreaking to return to the UK without Madeline, it does not mean we're giving up our search for her. Despite there being so much we wish to say, we are unable to do so, except to say this. We have played no part in the disappearance of our lovely daughter, Madeline.
Welcome. This is True Crime Brewery. I'm Jill.
And I'm Dick.
And today we're talking about the Madeline McCann case. She was a beautiful 3-year-old girl. Her family was on holiday in Portugal, and tragedy strikes. 3-year-old Madeline is missing. Was this an abduction or a cover-up? We'll discuss the facts and the rumors, trying to make sense of it all. And we'll learn what's been done in the last couple of years to find out where she is, and to find Madeline. But first, Dick's going to introduce us to a UK beer.
So what I thought I'd do, since the parents are citizens of the United Kingdom, was to do a United Kingdom beer. And I chose a beer from Samuel Smith Old Brewery. I have a very fond spot in my heart for Sammy, as we call him. I guess he's not really Sammy, but I call him Sammy. Because this was one of the earliest kind of craft beers that I enjoyed. This beer is his, or their, organic chocolate stout. In a pint glass, it's a dark brown with beautiful red highlights. Very large tan head that lasts forever. And some sticky lace to the glass. It has a cocoa and roasted malt aroma. And a cocoa milk chocolate taste. I thought there was a hint of licorice to it, too.
Oh, wow.
And this is a really nice, smooth, creamy beer.
Looks very rich.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's not that rich, but it's a delicious beer.
Would you call it a dessert beer, or is there no such thing?
You could construe this as a dessert beer.
Okay. Good. So, in the first few days after Madeline McCann went missing, the resort was swarmed with police and with media, and they thought that Madeline had just wandered off. Right off, Kate and Jerry McCann, her parents, thought she was abducted. Now, at first, the McCanns were criticized for being neglectful because they ate in the hotel's restaurant while their children slept in their vacation apartments, and those were between 50 and 100 yards away. But by September of 2007, so she disappeared May 3rd, so by September, accusations of neglect and careless parenting were escalating to a much more serious accusations. Kate and Jerry were accused by the media of lying and covering up Madeline's death. The Portuguese authorities reinterrogated the couple and identified them as suspects. Now, it's been 9 years, almost to the day, that Madeline disappeared, and speculation has just run rampant.
So, how about if we go back over the timeline of what happened to Madeline? Because, you've given a quick overview of her going missing, and there's lots of things to discuss about that.
Well, there definitely are. Let me just give you a tiny bit of background. Kate and Jerry went to Praia de Luz Resort in Portugal for vacation with their 3 children, 3-year-old Madeline and their 1-year-old twins, Sean and Emily. Now, 3 other families, friends of the McCanns, were vacationing with them, and the McCanns were involved in activities at the resort. There was a kids' club that the kids spent a lot of time at. The parents were very into tennis. They took tennis lessons. But then in the evenings, once the kids were in bed, the adults would eat at the tapas restaurant on the complex. Now that was 50 to 100 yards away, as I said, and there's some dispute about whether they could see them. They said they could see the door of their apartment from the table they were sitting at.
Right, but I've been reading other things that says it's impossible to see the door.
Yes, some of
them. Because there's a wall and there's trees and there's all sorts of things that impede your view.
Right, and there's actually a pool between them and the restaurant, which I thought was dangerous.
Well, yeah. What if the kids started wandering out and fell into the pool?
Well, that's what I thought.
Would the tapas people notice that? Is the pool close enough to the restaurant that they could tell if somebody fell into the pool?
Well, maybe if they were staring right at it, but how often are you eating dinner and just staring completely at that?
Not often.
Yeah. So they'd actually had this routine over the past 4 nights while they were there, taking turns going to check on the children. There were a total of 8 children among the group, and Madeline was in the McCann apartment, and she was in a bedroom with her 1-year-old siblings in apartment 5A.
So these people know each other. I think they're pretty much all physicians.
Yes, a lot of them went to school together. One of them is the mother of one of the women that came with the couple.
Right. And they vacationed with these people before.
Yes, most of them, I think they did.
So this is a routine for them. You know, they go out and go to some place. Maybe it's the same resort in Portugal, but they vacation together and know each other's routines, each other's kids. It's not like it's a new situation for anybody.
No. Now, one couple was Matthew and Rachel Oldfeld, and then David and Fiona Payne, and then Russell O'Brien and his partner, Jane Tanner. And Fiona Payne's mother was there, Diana Webster. But we'll get back to them later and who was involved in the things that happened that night.
And there's other children besides the McCann's kids.
8 children.
8 children.
3 are the McCann's.
Okay.
Okay. And they were in separate apartments in the same apartment block.
Okay. So when the adults are having dinner and the kids are left to be asleep in their rooms, people are checking on them. Is that true?
Yes. From most reports, I heard that they were checking every 15 minutes. One of the adults would go over there. But they were only specifically checking their own children, but they would walk by. And it was primarily just to make sure nobody was crying or awake getting into things. So if they didn't hear anything, they didn't necessarily go into the apartment.
Okay.
Okay.
So they'd go up and check their kids, and if there were no noises from the other adjoining apartments, they figured everything was fine with the other kids.
Yes, they did. So that day at around 5:30, Kate and Jerry picked up their 3 children from their afternoon tea at the Ocean Kids Club, where the kids had had their tea, which I think would be their dinner here in the United States. Now Jerry began a game of tennis at 6 o'clock. And David Payne said that he checked in on Kate and the children at Jerry's request around 6:40, and that he did see Madeline there in the room.
So what's with that? I mean, Jerry says to a friend of his, can you check on my wife and kids to make sure everything's okay?
Yes, to see if Kate needs me to help with the kids or if I can finish this tennis game.
Oh, well, that's better.
Yeah.
I was getting more suspicious all of a sudden.
No, not to see if they were okay in that way, just to see if she needed help getting the kids ready for bed and washed up.
So he's trying to finish his tennis game, and he says, check on the family if they need me, let me know, and I'll come back.
Yeah. At around 7 o'clock, Jerry did finish playing tennis. He went back to the room, and then it was at 8:35 p.m. that Kate and Jerry arrived at the Ocean Club Tapas Restaurant after just tucking the kids in for the night.
Right, but that's their routine, right? Dinner was at 8:30 at the Tapas Restaurant.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it was specifically at 8:30 every night, but it was a routine to do that once the kids were in bed.
Yeah, once the kids were in bed, the adults met at the restaurant and had dinner.
Okay. That's right. So they had just tucked the kids in a little after 8 and went to the Ocean Club Restaurant. And at 9:05, it was Jerry's turn to check on the children, and he went to check. He went actually in the apartment, actually opened the bedroom door and checked on the kids and actually laid eyes on them and said that Madeline was alive and well, snuggled up in her bed. So at 9:15, having left the table to check on her own children, Jane Tanner sees a man carrying a child close to the McCann's apartment. She doesn't think anything of it at the time because Jerry McCann has just been nearby, and she just assumes that's somebody with their child. It's at 9:30 that Matthew Oldfelt goes to check his children, and Kate says that she was getting up to check her kids, and he said, oh, I'll take care of it. You can skip this time. Matthew Oldfelt goes to check the children, but what he did was he just walked into the apartment, opened the door, didn't hear anything, didn't really look in, and left, and said everything's fine because nobody's crying. And they weren't looking out for an abduction, they were just trying to make sure the kids weren't waking up and needing them.
So he didn't really go into the apartment and look around, he just kind of stuck his ear to the door?
Well, he went into the apartment, but he just stuck his ear to the doorway to the children's bedroom. Because the children were in the front bedroom.
Right. And the entryway was to a patio, correct?
The side that they were on was the patio door, which was left unlocked.
So you could enter the patio door and be in the bedroom where the kids were.
Yes.
And around the other side of the apartment was the front door that was kept locked.
There's some debate about that, but I think that they did say they locked that door and had a key for it when they came over.
Okay.
And so, that was on the street side.
So people checking on the kids would be in the patio, either listening at the entryway or entering the bedroom and seeing that the kids were okay.
I think so, yeah. That's my understanding of it. So it was around 10 o'clock where Kate McCann went to check the children. So she went in, she said that the bedroom door was more askew than it was before, and she felt a gust of wind blow it shut, which meant that the window was open, which she'd already left the window shut with locked shutters on it. So that alarmed her. She went inside, and the curtains were fluttering. She looked at the bedding on Madeline's bed and wondered, is that Maddie? And when she went up close, Maddie was not in her bed.
So the window that was shut when they left the children in the bedroom was now open.
Yes. It was. So she went to check her and Jerry's bed to see if Madeline had gotten up and crawled in there, and she wasn't there. So according to her, she said that's when she really started to panic. And this is where we get the conflicting reports of Kate's reaction. From the different research we've done, we've heard conflicting things. With Kate's interviews, I heard that she went running to get help as soon as she noticed that Madeline was missing. And then I've also heard from other sources that she just walked fairly normally over to the tapas restaurant table and told the group there either that Madeline was gone or that they had failed Madeline.
Yeah, there's discrepancies in the reporting of what she actually said to the other adults.
Yeah, but still, regardless of what she said, I find it odd that she left the one-year-olds there.
Well, no kidding. Were they awake or still asleep? I mean, she must have made some noise in looking for Madeline. I would think that the infants would wake up.
Well, either way, if she walks away, how does she know that the abductor's not still out there and they'll come back for the other two?
Exactly.
And she also had a cell phone on her, so I don't understand why she didn't call Jerry's cell phone or just go outside the door and yell.
Right. If it's 50 meters away from the balcony.
Okay.
You know, just go out to the balcony and shout over to the people at the restaurant, Jerry, come home. Maddie's gone.
Right. Or just yell, Madeline, where are you? Something.
Yeah, that's certainly something to think about.
I thought that was odd. So within hours, the police, the media, they descended on the resort. And a massive search was done of the local area. And first of all, the resort had thought that Madeline had just wandered off, as I said before. So by morning, that's when they really started doing a serious search. It was dark. It was hard to do much of a search. They only searched right around the buildings.
Right. And they didn't find her face down in the pool.
No. That's another thing. The day after she disappeared, Jerry made a statement and Kate made a short statement asking everyone to pray for Madeline and if someone had her, to please bring her back to her family. And then it was 1 month later when the McCanns made a television appeal for the safe return of Madeline.
So over this month's time, I'm sure there's intense investigation as to whatever happened to Madeline or where she is.
Yes, actually, when she went missing, the physician's friends that were eating dinner took a piece of Maddie's sticker book and they wrote on it who had done what at what time, who had checked the children at this time, at that time, and Jane Tanner. It was at that point that she was telling the police about her sighting of a man carrying a child about Maddie's size out on the street in front of apartment A.
So why were they writing things down? Was it just to be accurate, or were they trying to cover things up?
That's a good question. According to them, they just wanted to be accurate. They thought that having a specific account of what happened would help the investigation.
I suppose it would. I'm not sure you need to write it down, because they're going to be interviewing, or the authorities are going to be interviewing everybody and finding out what the timeline is anyway. But they felt like they needed to write something down.
Yes. So they did that. Maddie wasn't found, obviously. And it was September when the suspicions of the McCanns really snowballed. And this is when Kate and Jerry were interrogated again, and they were named as suspects by the Portugal police.
So what made them be named suspects with this?
Well, the Portuguese police didn't really give any information. It's their policy not to give any information to the public. During an investigation, everything is kept pretty much secret.
So all we know is that the Portuguese police didn't like the story that the McCanns were giving and thought that they would be suspects.
That's right. They did.
Okay.
So it was, I think it was about September, late September, when they also had another suspect, and he was a real estate developer in the area. Shortly after that, he was found to be not involved, but he had had a lot of bad things happen to him in his life because of this accusation.
And why was he accused? Was he a pedophile or convicted of kidnapping children before, or what was the reason for his accusation?
No, I think he was just brought to the attention of the police because he'd been asking a lot about the case. So when he was asking a lot about the case, some people thought that that was suspicious.
Well, absolutely.
Well, they did.
I'm not sure why that's enough to be named a suspect.
Well, we don't know all the details because the Portuguese police wouldn't...
Because they ain't talking.
...divulge that, that's right. They wouldn't, and as far as the McCanns, rumors started floating around, and some of the rumors were that they had medicated Maddie to try and get her to sleep so they could go out to dinner and have drinks, and maybe she'd had too much of it, an overdose, or maybe she'd gotten up and fallen and died from a fall.
Were the McCanns known to medicate their kids to help them sleep?
Not that I know of.
Some of that makes me think that they've been doing that for a while, because you're going to leave your kids unsupervised. It'd be helpful that they were sedated, and then you don't worry too much about them getting up and wandering around or falling into the pool. So some of me wants to think that they might have done that kind of routinely.
Well, even if they did that, it's just a big stretch in my imagination to think that they would cover it up and hide her body. Normal people don't do that.
Okay. I mean, not to show cards too soon with this, but if they had been medicating the kids and Maddie had a reaction to the drug and died, I wouldn't want it to be known that I was responsible for that. So I can see where they try to dispose of the body or come up with a story that she is abducted.
I don't think that's very likely, but a lot of people do think that's a possibility, so you're not alone in thinking that.
No, well, I think that's one of the possibilities.
So it was the day after they were named suspects that the McCanns went back to the UK, and they had a fund, which many famous people contributed to, lots of money.
So they were allowed to leave Portugal?
Yes, they were.
Even though they'd just been named suspects?
Yes, they were.
So
now they had a PR person and an attorney helping them.
Okay. And I guess the Portuguese police didn't get enough answers where they would actually charge them with anything, and that's why they allowed them to leave the country.
Yeah, I think if they'd had enough to arrest them, they would have.
Sure.
I think the Portuguese people were just really confused and outraged about the whole leaving the children in their apartment, because the Portuguese culture, the children go everywhere with them, from what I've heard. And that's kind of a different culture where you don't leave your children and go do things without them. You're on vacation, they go to dinner with you.
Right. Was there any kind of babysitting services or anything available at the resort?
Well, there absolutely was. Good question. There was.
So why didn't they use that? Was it too expensive, or they just felt like they could leave the kids safely by themselves?
I think they had a false sense of security that it was just fine to leave them.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're both parents. That's not something we would do.
No. No, it's strange.
For sure.
Yeah. So in July of 2008, they were cleared by the police. And the case was closed by the Portuguese police.
Okay, so how were they cleared?
They didn't say. They just said they weren't suspects anymore.
So they were suspects, and they were questioned and allowed to leave the country, and then they weren't suspects anymore.
That's right.
Okay.
But this is a year later that they were cleared. It was in 2008.
It would be nice to hear more from the Portuguese police, but as you said, they don't divulge anything that's ongoing.
They haven't, although I'll tell you later about a book that would give some of that information. So, as I said, they had a large fund to help with the search for Maddie in the UK. And then in 2011, there's still no Maddie. The McCanns make a direct appeal to the Prime Minister, David Cameron, for help.
So we're 4 years into this.
We are.
With no leads or revelations about the whereabouts of Maddie.
No, there have been some sightings, but none have been confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
So in an unprecedented move, the Metropolitan Police were given the job of re-examining Madeline's case, given the job by the Prime Minister. And a complete investigation was done with Scotland Yard's best detectives.
Wow, that's pretty good that private citizens like the McCanns could wield that much power and get all that going to find their daughter.
Well, I think so. I think that they had some friends in high places. I think that it was just such a big story. It attracted so much attention because they were doctors, because it was a beautiful child. But there are all kinds of children that go missing, unfortunately, all the time. And this case got a really uneven amount of attention.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. If you're a cynic, you're thinking, well, this is an upper-class couple, attractive, well-spoken. So, yeah, we're going to pull out all the stops.
I don't think you need to be a cynic to think that. I think that's pretty much common knowledge.
I mean, it's not like she's the daughter of some drug-addicted prostitute who goes missing, and they're not going to spend much time looking for that kid.
Yeah, it is definitely unfair. They met with the Pope. David Beckham actually spoke for them and made a announcement about helping to find Maddie. Large amounts of money were given, and then they got this complete investigation done. And it was very expensive, and this was in 2011 they started on that, and they came up with their determinations just in 2013. So in 2013, when they spoke to investigators, and this was on a BBC news show that I saw the interview.
Who spoke to the investigators?
No, the BBC. When news people spoke to them.
News people spoke to the investigators.
Yes.
And said, so what's up
about
with the case?
About what was released by Scotland Yard.
Okay.
And this is public knowledge now. It's accessible to the public.
And what did they find?
Well, They found that the bed that Madeline was in the front bedroom, and that the twins were in travel cots, and the back door of the apartment could not be seen from the restaurant. Obviously, they couldn't see into the bedroom, but they couldn't even see the door, is what they decided after they went and investigated the crime scene.
So they couldn't have seen anybody exiting that door with a child?
Not at all.
And the front door was locked, so they couldn't see that anyway?
That's correct.
How about the window that got opened?
That was on the side of the front door.
So that wasn't visible from the restaurant either?
No.
So somebody could have gone in and snatched Madeline, never been seen by the people at the restaurant.
Yes, and that is pretty much what they decided happened. The timeline they focused on was 8:30 p.m. to 10 p.m. So that's their primary focus, the time when the McCanns went to dinner until the time when Kate went and found that Madeline was missing. So they go to dinner at 8:30, and then around 10, Jane Tanner reports that she saw a man carrying a child right past the apartment, like walking away from the McCanns' apartment. She says the child was just laying across his arms, kind of flaccid, and didn't have any shoes on, and it was a chilly night.
And was this a little 3-year-old blonde kid or someone who would fit that description?
They didn't specify the hair color. The pajamas were similar. The sketch that they first did had similar pajamas, and it just had a man with brown hair, khaki-colored pants, and a brown top. So from 2007 to 2013, this was thought to be, by the McCanns, this was thought to be the major lead, that Jane had seen the abductor leave with Madeline.
But she had been there not too long after someone else had gone by.
Yes, there. Right after Jerry. She was there right after Jerry was leaving.
Right, and Jerry said he went into the apartment and saw that all three kids were there.
He did, yes. And the window was shut.
And the window was shut.
Yes.
And then how much time afterwards did this person say she saw someone carrying a child?
Well, Jerry was still outside chatting with someone on his way back to the restaurant when Jane saw the man, so it was very close.
Okay, so I'm thinking that whatever she saw wasn't the abduction of Maddie. If the father had just been there a short time, minutes before, maybe less than minutes before, and everything was okay, and then Jane Tanner sees somebody carrying a child in the immediate aftermath of that, it doesn't sound like an abduction.
Well, this is what they thought. They thought that she had seen the abduction. But investigators made note that that night there was a nighttime babysitting service going on in the main Ocean Club reception building. So there were 11 children left there by 8 families. And there was one family who told investigators that they believed they could have been the Tanner sighting. The father had clothes very similar to the ID'd man's clothes, and his child's pajamas were extremely similar to Madeline's. So they didn't find this out until 6 years after she went missing. So this was a big finding that the Portuguese police had not found.
Well, yeah, but again, the timing doesn't sound right that somebody snatched the child so soon after her father checked and found everything okay. And then this eyewitness sees somebody carrying an infant or a child within just a few minutes. It doesn't sound like there's enough time.
Well, most people believe that there was a stalker. Someone was watching Madeline. So it would kind of make sense if her dad checked on her, they would want to take her right after he left because they'd know there'd be another check in 15 minutes. So it might have been the ideal time.
I suppose it might have been the ideal time.
It could have been.
So what, do we have evidence that there were people stalking or observing the family?
Yeah, we'll get to that. Let's just finish this part first.
Okay.
So I just wanted to say that investigators decided there was no way that Jane Tanner had seen the abduction. So as of 2013, like I said, that sighting was eliminated as evidence in the case.
Yeah, again, I think that the timing is all wrong, and she couldn't have seen the abduction of Madeline so soon after the father had checked and found everything okay and found the window closed, right? Didn't she say that?
Yes, it was closed.
And then when the mother went in, the window was open.
Well, you're right, it wasn't the abductor. But people did believe that beforehand.
Okay.
So, but you're right. So Jane Tanner's sighting is removed from the equation, which is progress, according to the investigators. And attention is turned to a 10 p.m. sighting by an Irish family in a pub down the street. Now, they saw a white man with brown hair carrying a child about 3 to 4 years old quickly from the direction of the Ocean Club toward the beach. And they actually made electronic facial identification pictures of the man, what they thought the man looked like. And he did look a little bit like Jerry. but Jerry wasn't there to do that because Jerry was at the restaurant at that time, so it couldn't have been Jerry.
We know for sure he was at the restaurant. People are saying that he was.
Well, Kate said at 10, she went over to the table and told Jerry about Madeline being missing. I don't know how she worded it, but he was at the table when she went over.
And the Irish family said at 10 or around 10?
Around 10. I don't know if it was specifically 10. And it was pretty close by. So I guess it's a possibility it could have been him.
Yeah.
So that was something that the investigators found could be more evidence, more helpful evidence than the Jane Tanner sighting, which they find really has nothing to do with the case. And then they also bring up some sightings of blonde, fair-haired men who became important information because they were seen near the McCann's apartment near the day before and the day of her disappearance. Now, there were witness statements that a fair-haired man had been standing on a nearby path at 8 a.m. on May 2nd. And the path was believed to run behind the block. Now, at 12 noon, there was a man seen at the entrance of the Tapas restaurant, and he was looking toward apartment G5A. May 3rd at 2:30 p.m., two men were on a balcony of an empty apartment, and that was believed to be 5C, so that was near their apartment.
And yeah, two doors down.
So at 6 p.m. that day, a man was seen in the stairwell, another fair-haired man, stairwell of the McCann's apartment.
So who's reporting all this stuff? I mean, these are just various people?
Yeah, these are just witnesses that were on the property.
Okay.
I don't have specifics of who they were. But these are things that the investigator said he found significant and reliable.
Well, maybe significant. I don't know about reliable.
Yeah, well, these things were noted when it happened. They're not just coming out with them 6 years later.
So when it was noted while it happened, why didn't that get further credence at the time? Why does it take 6 years for all this to be discovered?
Well, this was the Portuguese police that were handling it back then, so we don't know.
Oh, so we're implying that the Portuguese police are incompetent.
I'm not implying that. I'm just saying that they didn't find these things out, and this is what Scotland Yard says. Now, okay. These sightings, I think they're incidental. They could mean something. But what I found that could really be something was at 11 p.m. the night that Maddie disappeared, so this was an hour after they couldn't find her, two men were seen talking with raised voices out front, and when they saw the witness who said that she saw them, they quieted down and walked away. So they were having some kind of argument with raised voices, two blonde men, an hour after Maddie disappeared. So that, I think, could definitely be something.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly fits the timeline that, an hour after she went missing, there was this discussion. Nobody saw the child. It was just the two men having kind of an argument.
Yeah.
And that's credible.
Well, it could be totally unrelated, but it was something that they noted and thought it could have something to do with it.
That sounds like it could be something.
It could be. But it doesn't really get us any closer to finding out what happened.
No, it doesn't.
He did ask that anyone watching this BBC News, if they knew of these people or if they were that person and they were there for an innocent reason, please let them know so they could at least eliminate them as suspects and they could move on to the next lead.
Right. And did anyone come forward?
Not that I know of, no.
So it's another dead end. I mean, something promising, but nothing resulted from it.
No, but they do have the belief that this was a pre-planned abduction because the McCann's routine was known in the resort that they did the same thing every evening. Actually, Kate McCann had written in the guest book for the staff that they would be going to dinner each evening around 8:30 and that the children would be sleeping in the apartment, so please don't disturb them. So that kind of lets anybody who is coming in, anyone that works there or stays there, they know.
Sort of. I mean, people that work there, they might have knowledge of this. The instructions from Mrs. McCann or Dr. McCann were specific that we're going to be dining at 8:30 and the kids are going to be alone.
They were. Now, they're either very naive
I mean, that could also provide an alibi for them, right?
For who?
For the McCanns, in terms of, oh, it's an abduction, because these people knew that the kids were alone at these times, and...
Well, yeah, but then you're saying that the McCanns were planning to do something to Madeline, which I don't think anyone has even considered that to be true.
Okay, I'll grant you that.
Do you consider that as a possibility?
No.
No, I don't either. So I don't think that that's a valid thing. Good try.
But thanks. But who has access to these instructions or directions that parents are absent and the kids are alone?
Well, anyone that checks into the hotel, they sign this guest book, and the instructions were written in there. Yeah, so I guess anyone who goes to the desk could see that.
Who sees the guest book? I mean, that's more smoke and mirrors it's in the guest book. Well, but nobody looks at the guest book.
So you're not buying this, but this is
no.
What...
I mean, I guess the registration desk would see that.
They would, and there are a lot of employees there. It's a good-sized resort.
And the employees can walk behind the desk where people check in and just view all the things in the guest book. I don't buy that.
No. Well, maybe not. But in this 2013 interview with Scotland Yard investigator, his name's Andy Redwood, and he said that they thought they'd really made progress in the investigation at that point, but they need to identify the men that witnesses described. That would include the brown-haired man that walked past the Irish pub with a child, and the fair-haired man or men that were hanging around the site, which they didn't work there, they weren't staying there, so they don't know why they were staying there.
Right. These are the ones that were arguing.
I think they were the same ones. They're thought to be. There were actually two or three men by the same description who'd been going door-to-door on a charity drive, which they thought might have been fake, asking people for money for some charity.
So, fake in terms of they were casing places out and determining who they would rob or abduct kids from?
Well, that's a possibility, yeah.
Okay.
So they need to identify these people.
And they're discounting the information from Jane Tanner, because she was the one that saw somebody carrying the child around 10 o'clock or shortly after Jerry had checked.
No, so they definitely believe that that was the man who was picking up his daughter from the daycare.
Okay. So we're left with the Irish couple and the two guys that were discussing things or arguing.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Okay.
So there were also a few weird things. So if you go online, there's so many different things. It's hard to tell what's true and what isn't. But there's a documentary called Buried by the Mainstream Media that's by Richard D. Hall. And it has some eerie music, and it has a lot of conspiracy-type theories.
Who's Richard Hall? Just an author?
Just a guy who did the documentary. He didn't explain who he was other than a documentarian.
Okay. But he's just looking at the case and reviewing the case. He's not actually involved in the case.
No, he said he was doing the documentary because he's tired of all the falsehoods that are coming out in the media about the case.
And those falsehoods are what, that the parents were accused, that they shouldn't be accused?
No. The opposite. He's saying that it wasn't an abduction, that the press has taken the McCann's side and they're being protected.
Well, not the Portuguese press and the police. They think the McCann's did it.
Right.
So this is the British press that's being nice to them.
It is, but also the Portuguese press did release them as suspects, so... There was actually the policeman who was in charge of the case when it first occurred. He actually wrote a book called The Truth of the Lie. He was taken off the case shortly after, during the same year. And he believes that it was not an abduction, that it was a murder of Madeline McCann by her parents or one of their friends. And it was covered up by them.
Wow, that's strong. So why was he taken off the case? He's the lead investigator? And they took him off.
They took him off. And this man that did the documentary, Richard Hall, he says that that was part of the conspiracy, that they took him off the case as soon as he started talking about the McCanns being guilty. Now, when the McCanns were still in Portugal, they had lawyers, private investigators, and they actually had a public relations person come to help them from the UK.
That just doesn't sound like parents that are grieving over the disappearance of their daughter. They're hiring PR people.
Well, I don't know if they hired them. They were actually sent over by David Cameron.
This was immediately afterwards, or this is years afterwards?
No, this is when they were still there, in the first...
So the British Prime Minister and his people got involved pretty early on.
I guess they saw it as protecting a British couple from the Portuguese law in case they got in trouble for something they didn't do. But there were millions of dollars raised also.
Boy, that's just, I guess I don't understand how that all works, that your daughter's gone missing and you've given a story and you might be suspects and your government hires public relations people to help out with that.
Yeah. When Kate was re-interrogated in September of 2007, she, I don't think it's called the fifth there, but she basically pleaded the fifth according to her lawyer's advice. She didn't answer any of the questions that were asked.
She didn't answer questions.
No, and that was frowned upon in the media because if you really want to find your daughter, why aren't you talking?
Well, yes. I mean, we know from all the crime shows and stuff we see, when you're pleading the fifth, that there's something to hide.
Usually, I think so. I can see that lawyers probably recommend that even when you're not guilty, but I think in this case, trying to find your daughter, it's strange that you wouldn't at least talk to them with your lawyer present and tell them what happened.
Well, no kidding. So is there any DNA testing or anything that was done?
Yes, eventually. The police report back in the September of 2010 said that the crime scene was staged. And then I told you about Kate not answering the questions. And then the McCains evolved their story to adapt to the police's questions. So this is what the Portuguese police have said. Now also, Catherine and Savio Casper, who were friends of the McCanns, and they vacationed with Kate and Jerry, also David Payne and his wife, and some other couples back in September of 2003-2005. I'm kind of sound like I'm getting off track, but I just want you to hear this out before we talk about the DNA evidence. These are just some other theories. So Catherine Casper said that when she'd vacationed in 2005 with David Payne and his wife and Kate and Jerry, that she'd overheard a conversation between Jerry and David where they said something about Madeline, and David had made some obscene gesture, putting his finger in and out of his mouth and touching his nipple and saying something about Madeline. So she was horrified by that, and she thought, well, maybe this guy has an unhealthy interest in young children. So after that, she didn't leave her children alone with Dr. Payne.
Huh. And that's when Madeline was maybe a year old, right? Couple years before the disappearance.
Yes, and that's why I thought maybe he was just referring to breastfeeding when he did that. Maybe it wasn't a sexually vulgar thing.
Yeah, well, the way it's told, it sounds sexually vulgar.
That's how she saw it. She was pretty upset about it. She told her husband about it. And she gave the information to the police right away as soon as she heard that Madeline was missing and David Payne had been there with them. But the Portuguese police didn't get that information until they didn't get it. I guess what they did is they went to their local police in the UK, and then the UK did not send that information along until October of that year.
So it's, some time has elapsed since this went on.
Yeah. So let's talk about the possibilities here. There are quite a few possibilities. Let's summarize them.
There are a lot of possibilities.
Okay, so there's the abduction possibility.
Okay.
Now.
So we need an opportunity that somebody felt like they had enough time to do it. And I guess I can see that if somebody knew that the kids were left alone each night from 8:30 till 11 or whatever.
Well, that's a wide open opportunity.
There's a lot of opportunity.
Tons of
there.
Opportunity, yeah.
Yeah. And you have some story that the window was open when it was closed at the time that the parents left. So somebody could have maybe gained entrance that way or exited that way.
Yes, although that seems strange because if the patio door was unlocked and he came in through the patio, if there was an abductor, and I'll assume it would be a man, then Why would they open the window? It would be harder to get out the window, especially carrying a child. It was a slide window, so it wasn't like you could just climb right out. You'd have to squeeze through.
Right. But I could also see where they gained entrance through the patio by crawling or something so that the people at the restaurant couldn't see them. But he couldn't exit carrying a child and crawling, so he went out the window. I think if I'm buying into the abduction theory that the abductor didn't want to exit the back doorway with a child in his arms for fear that he could be seen.
But that doesn't make much sense because the back door had a wall and bushes. The front door was right out to the street where the window was.
It was locked, the front door.
Yes, but he could have left from the inside out the front door. It wasn't locked, so he couldn't get out.
Yeah, I guess that's true. So he could have just exited the front door.
So okay. I think if it was an abduction, it was probably someone who'd been watching them because they really made it easy for someone to take her.
I'm not real convinced that it was that easy, but they certainly did things where if someone is in the mind to abduct an infant or a child, that they could do that from information left by the parents.
Yeah, I think so. So then if we think that the parents were involved, the options are that maybe they medicated her and something went wrong. Or another option, which I haven't heard a lot of, but it was mentioned about Catherine Casper, that David Payne may have had some kind of unhealthy interests in small children and maybe he did something to Madeline. But I just can't believe that her parents would cover that up for him.
Well, no. And this is a guy that they've known, right?
Right.
And have vacationed with?
They have.
But he wasn't on this vacation.
Yes, he was.
He was one of the people in the group.
The one who told the story, Catherine wasn't there and her husband wasn't there. But when she found out that David Payne was there with them.
Oh, so he's one of the group.
He was one of the group,
and,
yeah, absolutely.
And did he have opportunity to, was he gone from the party at the Tapas restaurant for a time when he couldn't be accounted for or something?
No, he wasn't.
Was he one of the people that, do they have kids? Was he checking on kids?
I don't know. He didn't check on the kids between the 8:30 and 10 o'clock timeline, but I think what was implied was something like the McCanns accidentally or purposely killing her or David Payne molesting her and killing her would be that it had happened earlier because when the kids came back from the daycare, the during-the-day kids club, around 5:30, 6 o'clock, the only people that saw Madeline after that were the McCanns and David Payne.
Okay. Let's say he does something to Madeline and kills her, accidentally or not. What's he do with her?
Well, somebody goes down past the Irish pub to the beach with her. So I think here's a good time to get in on
okay.
this DNA evidence, because this is going to come into play now.
I don't know about that.
Well, listen to the DNA stuff.
All right, show me the DNA stuff.
Okay, so this is August 2007, and these dogs, Eddie is a human corpse detection dog, and Keela is a blood detection dog.
So these aren't actually DNA testing things. These are...
Well, there's some of that, too.
Okay.
But these are dogs that come in and they can tell where there's been a human corpse or where there's been blood.
Okay.
Now, Eddie, they come in separately so that there's no interference between the two dogs.
All right. And Eddie's the corpse dog?
Eddie's the corpse dog. And Eddie...
And they come in where?
Well, they come into the apartment.
Okay.
They come into the villa where Kate and Jerry went after they moved out of the apartment. And they also did the car that they rented. There were actually 11 locations where Eddie alarmed that there was a corpse in an area. So one of them was the apartment closet, and near the closet.
The apartment that they stayed in after?
With Maddie, the original apartment that she was taken from.
Okay.
So
the dog found something in a closet.
It was the closet and the closet area. And that is where the tennis bag had been in a picture there earlier, which actually went missing, and that was never accounted for. So that seemed suspicious. Also, Kate's pants that she was wearing, what do they call it when they alarm? They
give notice.
The dog gave notice that there had been a corpse there. And then also the car that they had rented. Now, they didn't rent the car until over 3 weeks after Madeline went missing. So this would bring into play the theory that Madeline had been killed, her body had been hidden somewhere, and then they'd use the rented car and move the body to a permanent location to dispose of it.
Yeah, okay.
So that's what that is all about. And Keela, the blood-smelling dog, she gave notice at three of the same locations, three of those 11 locations. There were traces of blood on the wall near the window where Madeline had disappeared, and there was a 1 in 1 million chance that it was Madeline. 1 in 1 million chance that it wasn't Madeline's. So officially that's not conclusive, even though 1 in 1 million.
Well, how do they arrive at that 1 in 1 million? What's that mean?
Well, when they do the DNA, they have the certain alleles, and it's definitely McCann blood.
So now we're doing DNA.
That's the DNA testing of the blood traces.
Okay. You didn't say that. You said that the dog detected blood.
He detected blood. They got a sample from it.
And it was a 1 in 1 million chance that it was not Madeline's.
Yes.
But by the window, could be an abduction.
Could be. But what about there being a corpse in the apartment?
Yeah.
Now, Eddie was specifically trained and taken to sites independently. His trainer, Martin Graham, has taken Eddie to over 200 trials, and Eddie has never been wrong. He has 100% success rate.
Eddie the corpse sniffer.
Yes.
So we're led to believe that if Eddie identifies something, he's right.
I would trust him. He's never been wrong. Well, he has no reason to choose a certain answer, right? He's definitely objective. He's the most objective witness you could have.
He doesn't have a bias.
There's no agenda, right? And he has been 100% successful in the past. And where's that bag that was sitting in the spot by the closet where he smells a corpse?
Well, if you're of a certain viewpoint, you'd say that's the bag that contained the remains of Madeline.
And that's what makes me doubt the abductor story. I believe the abductor story until this comes up, because this is hard, cold facts, and it doesn't make sense to me. In the villa that they went to after Madeline disappeared and they had to move out of that apartment, there was a closet there that had Madeline's little stuffed toy, cuddly kitten or something like that, they called it. And the dog actually alarmed, made noise there, saying that there had been a corpse there. He could smell a corpse.
So the dog could detect corpse remains, corpse odors, in the apartment that they were on vacation in.
Yes.
And in the apartment or villa that they rented after the fact.
And the rental car.
And the rental car.
And on some of Kate's clothing.
Well, that's...
That's very strange, isn't it? Yeah, I thought so. And this is very specific. It can't be an animal corpse. It's human decomposition is the only thing that he will react to. And the dog reacted in the apartment closet, the villa closet, Kate's clothing, and the back of the rental car.
So how long do you... Well, you can't answer this, I don't think. But how long do you have to be a corpse before you give off aromas that make the corpse-sniffing dog detect you?
I think it's about 8 hours. It's a few hours.
So then you'd have to say that Madeline was killed earlier in the day, in the evening. Because once her mother went at 10 o'clock and didn't find her and alerted everybody, people were searching the apartment and didn't find anything.
Well, see, that's why I can't believe that theory either. I can't believe that these parents would hide their daughter's body and then go to dinner and act totally normal.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It's really tough to believe that.
But the dog couldn't detect anything if the time sequence is correct, that she went missing around 10 p.m. at night and the police were called and involved and they searched, presumably searched the apartment. There wasn't enough time elapsed to have corpse.
Well, no, and
aromas.
What abductor is going to kill her and then abduct her? That doesn't make any sense either.
Right.
So if you believe the dogs, you kind of have to believe that the McCanns were in on this. I don't see any way around that.
I don't either.
So that's really strange.
But like you said, it's tough to believe that the daughter had been killed or died, and the McCanns stuck her in a closet and then went casually to dinner and pretended everything was okay. That just is mind-boggling.
It is, it is. So I guess that's why this is such a tough case to solve.
For sure.
As far as the authorities are concerned, it's an abduction, but how do you explain the dogs? It's just inexplicable.
It is. I mean, unless you say the dogs are wrong, but they've never been wrong, or the corpse dog's never been wrong, and he detected it at four different places, right?
Well, 11 specific locations. Four general areas and then 11 specific locations in those areas.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, that's tough to ignore, too.
Now, another thing that is very suspicious against the McCanns is when they were at their villa, their car was seen by people that staying there as well. Their car had all the doors open and the hatch open, airing it out because it smelled really bad. And Kate said it was the nappies or the diaper that was causing that odor.
Because the twins were still there too, right?
Yes, the twins were still with them. So that was really suspicious
so
too.
That's another thing.
And that's the car that the dog is not going to alert you to a diaper smell. If
no,
it was that...
It has to be a corpse smell.
If it was that flimsy, they wouldn't be using the dog for anything. It wouldn't be a valid technique, and it is. It's been very helpful in many cases.
I mean, I'm going to spend more effort on the dog that's detecting the odors. The people that say, oh yeah, we saw the car with its trunk open and all the doors open, that's not as important to me as the dog who's detecting corpse aromas.
Well, I agree with you. I think that physical evidence means much more to me than what someone witnessed or what someone thought, especially after all these years. People's imaginations just get carried away.
Yeah, no question.
Ideas get planted in their mind, and even if they're trying to be honest, they might not be, because, you know, your brain skews things in the way that your brain works. Everything's different for everybody.
That's right. And you know how I look at eyewitnesses.
Skeptically.
Skeptically.
Yep. Well, and I understand that, and also the fact that they had a PR person come in was very strange.
Well, I'm still thinking about that. Why do I need a PR person? That's, I guess, to make me look more sympathetic or something?
Well, I don't know. I don't know exactly.
I know from doing reading that the press didn't like the mother very much.
Well, yeah, a lot of people didn't like the mother because they didn't think she was emotional enough on television, that she wasn't crying and carrying on, but I certainly don't think that that counts for anything.
No, I don't either.
Everybody acts differently. She said that the expert with the police had actually told her, try to look composed, you know, because the person that has her might enjoy seeing you cry. It might make things worse. So some people cry, some people don't, and it doesn't mean that they're right or that someone else is right. For example, Susan Smith, who drowned her kids in the car.
Yeah, South Carolina case.
Yes, it was several years ago, but she was bawling on the air about how her little boys had been taken and she just wanted them back. And we find out that she had put them in the lake herself.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, I can see that.
So I really think it's better to stick to physical evidence. So for physical evidence, we have the dogs, which I think is a big thing.
Yes.
What else do we have for physical evidence? Not much, I guess.
I don't think too much more. We have sightings.
Yes.
That I'm not sure I'm going to lend much credence to.
Well, no, I'm talking just physical evidence. But is there any more physical evidence?
Well, you have the dogs and you have some DNA testing.
That's true. I forgot about the DNA.
Said there was a 1 in a million chance that the blood spatter didn't belong to Madeline.
Right.
The only thing was it was by the window, so I'm not sure about that. But anyway, so you have dogs and DNA.
Yes. What about the missing tennis bag? They didn't even admit that they owned that bag, but it was seen in pictures from their vacation. So I would take that as physical evidence, that you see a picture with the bag, and then they say that they don't own a bag like that, and it's a bag that you could fit a small child in, and it's a bag that was sitting where a crime scene dog alerted that there had been a corpse there. Now that's a big thing.
It is. On the other hand, he played tennis.
But why would his bag be gone? And he said he'd never had that bag.
I don't know why.
I mean, where did the bag come from and where did it go? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, he would have had to take the tennis rackets out of it to put Madeline in there. So where are the tennis rackets? I know.
Well, once we find Madeline, we will start the search for the tennis rackets.
That's kind of a stupid thing to say.
Nah.
But, I mean, why would you say we don't own that bag when it's clear that you do?
And an interesting thing was, in 2010, the McCanns had a libel case against this Goncalo Amaral, who wrote that book, The Truth of the Lie, which claimed that Madeline had died in the apartment and the McCanns had covered it up. And the McCanns won, according to various sources, it was between 394 to 500,000 pounds. But shortly thereafter, the case was overturned and the book was for sale. So the book is available.
So that's interesting.
I don't
know. So they win a libel suit, but they still allow publication of the book.
Because it was overturned. He appealed it and it was overturned.
Maybe there was more to the matter than what meets the eye.
Maybe. Now this detective, he said that the mainstream interviews on Oprah, on BBC's Crime Watch, which is kind of like a 2020 Dateline type show, and 48 Hours Mystery, which we watched, that none of these interviews challenge the McCanns' story. The McCanns just say their version of it, and none of the questions that people have are asked on these interviews, because if they ask those questions, they won't do the interview. So that's a big problem with the mainstream, that this author and then the documentary guy, Richard Hall, that's why they're really unhappy with the mainstream media.
So the McCanns got to dictate how the interviews would go.
Yes, what they would talk about, what they wouldn't. They actually had footage of Jerry McCann being interviewed where they'd asked about, is there any truth that you'd medicated Madeline that night? And he got up and took the microphone off and said, we're not answering these type of questions. And he was fucking leaving, just like sideways.
I'm fucking out of here.
Just like if you're drinking Merlot, I'm fucking leaving.
That's right.
And that was his stance on that.
Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Although Kate sat there and said, oh, sit down, Jerry, or something like that.
Yeah. But he didn't.
He didn't. So that's the thing with the mainstream media. Now you watch these other things and you think, well, that's like conspiracy theory. But that's why it's so confusing and it's so hard to get a handle on this. And that's why I was trying to just go with Scotland Yard's take on it. But then the dog thing gets in my way of accepting that.
Well, yeah. And you know that whoever's doing the interview has their agenda, right? They want to present the McCanns as innocent victims or diabolical killers. And you can rig the interviews and discussion any way you want to do it.
Right. But the McCanns are smart people and have PR people working for them. So the only interviews they do are the ones that make them look like innocent, mourning parents.
Well, of course, that's how I do it.
Yeah. So I just have one more thing to add from the Scotland Yard. In April of 2016, so not very long ago at all, the Madeline McCann investigation was talked about on the New York Times. So it said that the investigation could finish in the next few months. The British investigation into her disappearance is going to finish unless new evidence emerges. There's a small team of officers, and they're following one remaining line of inquiry into the three-year-old's disappearance. Now, they've been granted $95 million from the Home Office to keep the probe going for another few months. Scotland Yard boss, Sir Bernard Hogan Howe, speaking on the BBC. Now, he said that the remaining line of inquiry is one that everybody agrees is worthwhile pursuing. Now, the investigation team, which began in 2011, has now been reduced from 30 investigators to just 3.
Did he say what line of inquiry was worth pursuing, or just that there was a line of inquiry?
In 2013, he said that it was the blonde men. But in the 2016 update, that isn't mentioned what the line of inquiry is.
Okay. More obfuscation.
So during the probe, and it was named Operation Grange, the detectives highlighted a sex offender who targeted some British families with young children staying in the villas, and I guess that's what it is. Yeah, that's the last thing that they're looking at, is a sex offender who targeted British families with young children in the villas in the same area where Madeline was last seen. So that's the last lead that they have.
What I'm reading there is that if that doesn't pan out, that the case is closed.
Yes.
With no explanation.
Well, he also said a missing child inquiry is never closed, but the current probe will conclude if the remaining line of inquiry doesn't prove fruitful. Now, there's been an awful lot of investigation time spent on this case. So this line of inquiry, it has to be concluded, and then he said it's expected that in the coming months that will happen. If somebody comes forward and gives good evidence, they'll follow it, and they'll always say that a missing child inquiry is never closed. So last week, Detective Chief Superintendent Mick Duthie, who's head of the force's murder squad, he said there's a possibility that Madeline could still be found alive. Well, that's no huge news. We know that.
Well, yeah, but this is 9 years ago?
Yes, she'd be 13 today.
So what do you think the odds are of finding a child alive after 13 years? I mean, I know they have to say that there's a possibility, but give me a break. There's no way she's still alive.
Well, it's not likely.
No.
No. So it's, for me, I don't know if it's an abduction or if they had something to do with it. I see a lot of evidence either way. I just find it hard to believe that the dogs would be wrong. So because of that, I can't accept the abductor theory.
Me either. I have my theory.
All right, let's hear it.
And it probably agrees with some other stuff you've heard or have read.
Okay.
But I think that the McCanns, being physicians, were medicating their kids to help them sleep and not be disturbed when they were having dinner, and that they somehow screwed up and Madeline had too much medication and succumbed.
And then they hit her body and went to dinner?
And they put her body in the closet and went to dinner, which sounds pretty cold, but what could they say? We just killed our daughter, so they're going to pretend that everything's okay and figure out a way to dispose of the body at some future point and go have dinner and pretend everything's all right. Because okay. We don't have anybody else other than the McCanns saying that when they did bed checks, everything was fine. The other people that went up there didn't enter the bedroom. They just listened to see that nobody was making noise.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So, and maybe that's a little on the out there range, but...
Well, it's certainly not. A lot of people do believe that they had something to do with it, and as we know, stranger things have happened in this world.
For sure.
So you just never know about people.
No, but that's my guess. I am probably wrong, but I think given all the evidence that the parents had something at least to do with what happened to their daughter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fair enough. Now, before we end it here, I'd like to say we got our first 5-star review on iTunes, so I'm going to read it. And it's from YellowDog55. And YellowDog55 says, "True Crime Brewery is awesome. I love the way Jill and Dick discuss the cases, and the beer reviews are great, too. I love the episode on Amy Bradley, but the 3-part series on the staircase was the best. I can't wait for the next episode." So I want to say thank you for the kind words, YellowDog55. So if you want to find out more about our podcast, True Crime Brewery, go to tiegrabber.com. We're also on Patreon, and we're also on Twitter. On our website, we do have a subscribe option where you can give $1 a month to help us out in making this podcast and keeping it ad-free. And you can also help us out on Patreon if you want to, and we'd appreciate it very much.
We certainly would.
So until next time, thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, guys and girls.